Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
One of the biggest changes from traditional churches to the new apostolic reformation is the amount of spiritual authority delegated by the Holy Spirit to individuals. And the two key words are authority and individual, and individuals as contrasted to groups. So now apostles have been raised up by God who have a tremendous authority in the churches of the new apostolic reformation. And I think this is the most radical difference between the old and the new.
That's C. Peter Wagner. He was for 30 years professor at Fuller Theological Seminary School of World Missions, author of many books, one of the kind of old school, for a long time, old school church growth gurus. But now he claims to be a leader in a new apostolic reformation. That's what they're calling it. He says God is raising up apostles. And giving the Holy Spirit is giving these apostles tremendous new authority over churches. These individual men, he claims to be one himself, if I'm not mistaken. He was speaking there recently on NPR, Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Well, should we expect now a new apostolic era, just like the apostles of the New Testament? Speaking authoritatively, maybe even penning new chapters of Scripture. It's hard to tell. I mean, if there are new apostles in the world who are speaking for Christ, maybe we should expect new chapters to our New Testament, or maybe even a whole new Testament, maybe from the pen of someone like C. Peter Wagner. Joining us to talk about the new apostolic reformation being claimed by C. Peter Wagner and others, Bob Leko, a regular guest, a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tolton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International based in Detroit. Bob, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd. It was a very interesting interview that Terry had with Dr. Wagner. It's pretty sad to see how far this guy has really gone off the rails, especially when you print out the interview and you look at it and go through each of the points and what he has to say. But his comments on the restored apostles I thought was especially telling. And, of course, he is and has been considered one by that segment of the charismatic movement for many years. And he's sort of the grandfatherly-looking kind of guy. He looks distinguished with the white hair and the white goatee. And he does actually have an earned degree. He earned his Ph.D. and, as you mentioned, was a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, which for many years was regarded as a pretty good school to attend. Certainly wouldn't recommend it to anyone today. But he was a good friend with John Wimber, who was another kind of church growth as well as charismatic power sort of teacher as well. And together they put together the books Power Evangelism and Power Healing, things of that nature. So he goes way back, Wagner does, with the charismatic movement.
Is he claiming, he along with, I assume there will be others who will claim to be the new apostles, are they claiming to be apostles in the same sense as Peter, James, John, St. Paul, others?
Well, they talk out of both sides of their mouth when it comes to that, Pastor Todd. They would say, well, no, of course, we're not the exact same order of apostle as the apostles mentioned in the New Testament, because they understand biblically no one today meets the requirements laid out in the Bible to claim to be an apostle. I mean, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, and then in Acts 10:39 and 40 and 41, it lays out what is required to be an apostle. These were men that had to have been with Christ from the beginning of his ministry until he was ascended into heaven. they were enabled by the Holy Spirit not only to speak the Word of God accurately, but also to confirm it with signs and wonders. And these are things that are simply not taking place, regardless of all their claims of signs and wonders and great power. These things are simply not taking place in Wagner's life or any of the other so-called restored apostles or prophets. They simply do not meet the biblical test and requirements to hold that type of ministry. I mean, if you want to use the word apostle in the loosest Greek sense and say, well, it simply means one who is sent, well, okay, if that's all you want to say is that, well, really, we're just kind of being missionaries. We're just going out proclaiming the gospel, and that's kind of apostolic work. Okay, if that's what you meant, yeah, I'll grant you that on a very low level. However, that's not what they mean. They mean that God has indeed spoken to them directly. He has appointed them and placed them in the office of apostle to lead the church into the last of the last days here. They are not only, a restored facet of the church, they believe that they are a necessary ingredient and requirement in the end days scenario of God. They have to be restored. The church needs their ministry in order for Christ to return. That's what they believe, and that's what they teach. And they've gotten hundreds of thousands of people to buy into this concept.
See Peter Wagner and the others who are with him in the New Apostolic Reformation, as they're calling it, are certainly not the first to claim some sort of apostleship. You have experience with, in your kind of your previous life in the Word Faith movement, it was not uncommon at all for someone to claim to be an apostle or prophet, to hear directly from God, to have some sort of special dispensation from the Holy Spirit and a special authority. Is that true?
That's very true. In fact, Wagner thinks too highly of himself in many regards. One of them is in this whole idea that, well, really, he has been the one that's fomented this great movement and restoration within the church. Well, that's just a patent lie. Any Pentecostal historian would tell you, certainly, Edward Irving back in England and Scotland in the 1830s was probably the forerunner of today's New Apostolic Reformation. Irving was a Scottish Presbyterian pastor who was excommunicated by the Presbyterians for his heretical views concerning the person of Christ. He was kicked out of the Presbyterian church and started his own church, which he called the New Apostolic Catholic Church or something to that effect. And he had, as himself and 11 other men, 12 restored apostles. He died, and these 11 other men took his vision and mission on to other little fledgling charismatic expressions in Europe, and then eventually came over here to Azusa. So no, Wagner's not the first. He's just the most prolific, perhaps, and because of the internet and technology, the people today have have the ability to get their message on a global platform instantaneously, almost. But we know, of course, from what Scripture tells us, what the Apostle Paul wrote, that the church has always had to fight this battle against men who claimed to be apostles and, in fact, were false apostles. They were angels of light, ministering as ministers of righteousness, as Paul says, but they're really servants of Satan. And then the Lord Jesus himself tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he says, look, you've examined these people that call themselves apostles, and that you can't bear with them that are evil. You've tried them which are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So what we're involved with today has really been going on for 2,000 years, and that's simply to examine the men who want to stand up, and today it's men and women, who claim to be apostles. We have every right to examine their claims and compare them to Scripture and look at the fruit in their lives and determine whether they are and are not. And like the Lord Jesus said to the people in the first century, hey, we examined them, and we found them to be liars.
Let's listen to what C. Peter Wagner had to say about demon deliverance and the role that it plays in the new apostolic reformation.
As a matter of fact, in Oklahoma City, there's an annual meeting of a professional society called the International Society of Deliverance Ministers, which my wife and I founded many years ago. This is a society of a large number, a couple hundred Christian ministers who are in the ministry of deliverance. Their seven-day-a-week occupation is casting demons out of people. And they have professional expertise in this, and they happen to be meeting right now. My wife is one of them. She's written a whole book called How to Cast Out Demons. And I don't do that much. Once in a while when I get in a corner, I might. But that's been her ministry. And so I've been very, very close to that for years. We've been married for 60 years.
Bob, we've got less than a minute before we need to take a break. Begin an answer. What role does demon deliverance play in the new apostolic era?
Demons have a major role in just about everything that they do, not only from their personal lives and problems that they may have, but perhaps after the break we can talk about spiritual mapping, and he talks about it in this interview, and determining what demons are over your block, your neighborhood, city, county, state, country, nation, and world, and how you can learn the names of those evil entities and how to deal with them. This is one of the restored truths that the apostles and prophets are bringing back to the church, this understanding of strategic level spiritual warfare, as Wagner likes to call it. In fact, he has an eight videotape series out on that. In fact, we have them here in our archives at the ministry office here.
Bob Liko is our guest. We're talking about C. Peter Wagner and his claims of a new apostolic reformation. Bob is a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you know what your Girl Scout is learning?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In the past, Girl Scouts USA pledged to remain neutral on questions of birth control, abortion, and political affiliation. However, two high school students started a website called Speak Now Girl Scouts to reveal how the organization has dropped that neutrality. The two girls, themselves scouts for 8 years, were shocked to learn of the Girl Scouts association with Planned Parenthood. Denver Bishop James Conley has also spoken to parents about the Scouts headquarters' pro-abortion and pro-birth control stance. He warns parents need to remain alert to the content of their daughters' activities.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
They used to call them comic books. This is not exactly a comic book. Now they're called graphic novels. Some of them are rather interesting. This one is a great primer for someone who is a new student of Reformation theology? Of course, you got to know your history to understand the Reformation. This new graphic novel from Concordia Publishing House called Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, does that in graphic novel form. It actually is a serious history of the Reformation. It's not romanticized. It isn't fictionalized. It even has, at the end, a very useful timeline of the Reformation, almost year by year. It's called Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one for someone you know, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. Bob Liko is our guest. We're talking about C. Peter Wagner and his claim of a new apostolic reformation. Bob, this demon deliverance that we heard about before, this ministry that he says so many are involved in, some of them, they claim to be able to kind of map out territory and protect people. Does it work?
Well, I don't think they're very good in their understanding of demonic possession and oppression and power and deliverance. Certainly we see some of that in the New Testament. We see Christ, of course, casting out evil spirits and some examples in the book of Acts. When it comes to these guys, they make all these great claims. And, in fact, it's their belief that when you can bind up the enemy or loose the enemy from a person or bind up his activity in a person's life, I guess if binding doesn't work, then you try loosing. That comes loosely from Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth, you know, is bound, or whatever you loose. They take that to mean spiritual warfare. And so they believe that if you simply can get demonic activity out of a person's life, then that person will receive Christ. And so they place a great emphasis on Satan and his demons. And it always amazes me of two glaring examples that prove that their belief and their practice is incorrect would be, the most recent would be Ted Haggard, of course, who some people may or may not remember, was the leader of a very large congregation. He was also the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, very close friend of C. Peter Wagner and his wife and many other restored so-called apostles and prophets, and yet it is revealed finally that Mr. Haggard fell into sin and was engaging in some homosexual practices and substance abuse. The problem I have is not the fact that Ted Haggard sinned. We're all sinners. The fact that surprises me is the fact that he's surrounded by all of these people who declare themselves to be seers, to receive revelation from God directly of such an import and a weight as to direct the church into the return of Christ. They can't see amongst themselves and receive revelation, discernment, or insight that one of their own brothers has fallen and is in need of help and restoration. They should have simply known, well, Brother Ted, come here, sit down. It's obvious there's demonic activity in your life. Have his wife come and, you know, do her little 5-page questionnaire and find out what the spirit may be and cast it out of Ted. And then Ted could be restored back to his former position and everything would be great. None of that happened. The other example is Paul Cain, who is recognized as one of the greatest living prophets, until it was discovered he too was homosexual and an alcoholic, and he has been leading and mentoring these restored prophets and apostles for 30, 40-some years. And yet no one got the revelation or insight of this man's moral character or problems. So they focus on demons. Does it work? I don't believe so. They can't even make it work in their own ranks.
Let's listen to what C. Peter Wagner had to say about spiritual mapping in a recent interview on National Public Radio.
When you talk about demons over cities, we're talking about what sometimes we refer to as territorial spirits. And they're more high-ranking spirits than the hierarchy of darkness. And they're more powerful, and they require different approaches. And it's not as easy as commanding them to leave in the name of Jesus. So sometimes there has to be repentance. Sometimes there has been bloodshed in that city that needs to be repented of. There has been idolatry in the city that has ruined the land. There's been immorality that needs to be repented of. And there are several social things that people really need to acknowledge that they're bad and repent of them and ask forgiveness. And that will open the way to some of it. But it's we're now getting into a very complex thing that would take much longer than we have to explain. But let me just repeat what I said previously. There are certain individuals in our whole movement that have special gifts for doing that, and they're helping lead the way and weakening the power of the spirits. And we don't believe we can kill demons. Sometimes we don't believe we can completely get them away from a city, but we can reduce their power. We can bind them, and then we can move strongly with the kingdom of God into the city.
What in the world is he talking about there?
Okay, I'm flabbergasted. Everything that he just said there, Pastor, all of this information, such as directly quoting, they're more high-ranking spirits in the hierarchy of darkness, and they're more powerful, and they require different approaches, end quote. All of that mystical insight, really, it came from mystical encounters that was brought on through protracted prayer and fasting. When I say prayer, I'm talking about hours of praying in ecstatic speech or other tongues, adding long fasts with that to enter into the spiritual realm, if you will, to gain insight regarding the principalities and powers and dominions that may be over your neighborhood or city or state. And then finally trying to determine through this sort of Gnostic insight the names of these powers. Then, when you know what the name is, then you can call that power down from its place of authority and bind it up somehow other than the name of Jesus, because we heard Wagner himself say that, well, sometimes the name of, you need more than just the name of Jesus, even though the Bible says that all authority in heaven and earth is given to Christ Jesus, and he has given us his name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will... Somehow that name is not powerful enough for some demons. It takes a different approach, which he didn't explain to us what that approach was. But obviously, it's a practice outside of the realm of Scripture. But that's what they believe. You have to know what the demons are, who they are. You pull them down, and then, underline the then in his statement, then you can go and preach the gospel in the kingdom of God. You know, can be expanded into that area. But first, you've got to identify the demons, call them down. This may take some weeks of prayer and fasting. Whenever you feel a release, then you send out your people to share the good news. And because the devil's bound up, why, people, of course, will receive Christ. Why wouldn't they? I mean, that is such a... There's so many things that are wrong with that, Pastor Todd, that we don't have enough time to go into it. It's a wrong understanding of the fallen human nature. They believe that, well, if you just simply subtract Satan from a person's life, well, they'll be all right. They'll do the right thing. No, we're desperately wicked. All Satan does is tempt us with desires and things that are already corrupted within our hearts. You know. So anyway, that's their belief in strategic mapping. So they go into areas, and they'll go to the city central park, and they'll look for statues. And if they see a statue of a Greek god or goddess, well, that gives some revelation as to maybe the power that's over that city, because they've erected this idol to this false god or goddess. So they'll start with kind of a historical insight of an area. Then they'll get into the mystical insight of dreams and visions and what someone may receive, in quotes, prophetically. And they'll add all that together and map their strategy to establish the kingdom of God.
Here's what C. Peter Wagner had to say about prophecy in the new apostolic era.
God has chosen certain people from the church to have the gift of prophecy. And it says in the Old Testament, the book of Amos, that God does nothing unless he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So that's a very key role. It hasn't been recognized by the church very much up until the New Apostolic Reformation. But we recognize the role of prophet, and God speaks to them. And so those of us who are apostles are closely related to not every prophet, but to certain prophets. And so we get a lot of our guidance from God through them.
Okay, with less than a minute to begin a response, Bob, what is C. Peter Wagner saying?
Again, he quotes Scripture and takes it totally out of context. I would agree that God does nothing without revealing it to his servants, the prophets. That he did. The prophets wrote it down with the apostles, and we ended up with the Bible, the written revelation that is completely sufficient for all faith and practice. We don't need any further words from God. God is still not revealing new things to new prophets. We have the sure word of God. We have the anchor for our souls contained in 66 books from Genesis to the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all we need is faith alone in Christ according to the Scriptures alone.
We're talking about the new apostolic movement claimed by C. Peter Wagner and others. Bob Liko is our guest. Stay tuned. 10 more minutes on the other side of the break. Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
The Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. And it also says that prophecy must be judged. So it means that we do not take every prophecy that's given at face value. It has to be judged by others and confirmed by others in order to be legitimate. So therefore, when some prophets make a statement that is not judged, the rest of the apostolic prophetic movement should not be implicated by what an individual prophet says, because some prophecies go wrong. Mm-hmm. Some prophets themselves admit, you know, I missed that one. I said the wrong thing. So they must not all be taken at literal face value at first.
That's C. Peter Wagner talking about the role of prophets in his new apostolic reformation of the church that he is claiming. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the new apostolic reformation. Bob Liko is our guest. Now, if you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, you're going to see a link to the new Issues Etc. Reformation Week video. It's brand new, just premiered from Pastor David Gallus. A great thanks to him for doing that for us. It's a little preview of what's coming up on Reformation Week here in October for our Issues Etc. listeners. Now, we want you to help promote Reformation Week for us by sharing that video on Facebook. It's very easy. Just go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Watch the video, then share it on your Facebook page. When you do, let us know that you have by sending us an email, contest@issuesetc.org, and then your name will be entered so that on October 28th, we will announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library. It is a stack of books, retail value, well, almost $500 retail value. The Lutheran Confessions, the Small Catechism, the Lutheran Treasury of Prayer, the Lutheran Study Bible, and more. You can win. You can enter for an opportunity to win that Essential Lutheran Library by just sharing the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video at your Facebook page, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We heard again from C. Peter Wagner coming out of the break there, Bob, about the prophets, how sometimes prophecy goes wrong, sometimes it's right, it needs to be judged. Picking up on something you said before the break, it sounds like what C. Peter Wagner is saying is that new prophecy is necessary in this new apostolic era because the Bible is insufficient for this new era.
There's no other conclusion, Todd, that rationally people can come to, because why else do we need a prophetic word today? So you have some men in a service and women, and they're recognized prophetic gifted people. Someone stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord." The other three sit there and go, okay, maybe, maybe not. Let's vote on it or whatever. Two out of three, we think it's God. Okay, it's the Lord, more or less, we think. Well, let's judge that according to Scripture. Was what the person prophesied totally out of line with anything in the Bible, or is pretty neutral, or pro-Bible? They'll look at that. Well, to me, why am I looking at the Bible to verify something outside of the Bible? Why don't I simply accept what the Bible has to say? What value has any of the new prophetic utterances, and these people write them down, we've got videotapes of them, audio tapes, books filled with them, what benefit have they brought to the church? Nothing. And most of them have been false and unfulfilled, and of course, as Wagner said, well, sometimes the prophet misses it and admits, well, hey, I was wrong there. So why, as a believer then, and you're the prophet who stands up and says, hey, I'm only human, I got a little bit wrong last week, I get a mulligan, a do-over, why should I have any confidence then in anything else that person says? Because they've already made one mistake. And in the Bible, if you called yourself a prophet and you made one mistake, you were automatically disqualified and technically would have been stoned to death for lying in the name of the Lord. Today, no, you can be a prophet and make mistakes, no problem. We'll sort of weed it out at the top, which is the word of the Lord and which isn't. I don't want to gamble with my eternal destiny, basing it on some statements by sinful men and women, half of whom don't even know whether what they're saying is of God or not, when I've got the Bible, which is all that I need. And it is a complete insufficient revelation. I'll certainly say we may be getting additional understanding and insight into what has been written, but we're not getting any new information. And that's the difference between what's going on in this so-called Reformation, and as we're about to celebrate as Lutheran Christians, the genuine evangelical Reformation. There's huge, huge differences between the two.
So what would C. Peter Wagner and the other apostolic types make of well, Christians and congregations, maybe even whole denominations, who will say, in response to their claims of apostolic authority, that is direct authority from the Holy Spirit over the whole church worldwide, Bob, I got no plans to submit to C. Peter Wagner's apostolic authority. I don't buy it. I think he's deluding himself and many others. What would they say of such Christians as a...
Well, they would pity us and just nod their heads and certainly pray for us. And their goal, of course, is in the end, they're going to be the last man standing. And they're working very hard at implementing their beliefs through a lot of their music. If you listen to the lyrical content of their songs, which are pretty pedantic and not very theologically meaty at all, but they do express their beliefs, and a lot of those songs have found their ways into many congregations, including some Lutheran congregations. You certainly see them on television. They dominate the television airwaves. They're very, very dominant on the internet and on radio and prolific in any, in quotes, Christian bookstore. You'll find huge sections regarding the charismatic leaders and Wagner and Joyce Meyer and all of these people. So they're out there. They're in it to win it. They're in it to convert all of the church over to their way of thinking. And we're the dinosaurs, and we really just had better get out of the way because we're hindering the move of God. And they take that very seriously. I've heard apostles that visited our church in Detroit here consign people to death, you know, because he has that authority to turn people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. And so, you know, they'll regularly do that to people in their minds. You know, well, we consign such and such person over. So they take it very seriously. We're hindering the move of God, and at some point we're going to have to be removed one way or the other.
About 30 seconds. How, in a nutshell, is the claimed new apostolic reformation different from what you mentioned before, the genuine evangelical scriptural reformation of the church? 30 seconds, Bob.
The big difference is simply this. Martin Luther did not set out to create anything new. He appealed completely to Scripture and sought to bring the church, the Roman Catholic Church of that day, back in line with its biblical foundations. The new apostolic order is gone totally above and beyond Scripture and is appealing to the authority of men and women's self-proclaimed authority, which they base upon dreams and visions and prophetic utterances and long fasts and even demonic communications. As they are trying to cast demons out of people, they will speak to these demons and get information from them. That's the difference between what Martin Luther did, which was to appeal completely to the context of Scripture, versus these people who are building their foundation on the subjective experiences of some very enthusiastic but misled people.
Bob Liko is a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit. You'll find a link to Discernment Ministry International at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our weekly series on biblical chronology, talking to Dr. Andrew Steinman about dating the Old Testament by setting a few markers there, crucial dates for understanding the chronology and the dating of the Old Testament. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Christ does indeed have his apostles. They're named in Scripture. And when the last one died off, the apostolic era was over. What the apostles left, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and of course at Christ's own institution, was everything that he commanded us. He's right there in Matthew's Gospel, the last chapter. Teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. And he gave that to his apostles. And that Scripture, that Holy Scripture, is the apostolic word. It is the apostolic authority in the world. There is no apostolic authority apart from that Holy Scripture. So if you're looking for a word from an apostle, open up your Bible and read what the apostles said. What they wrote in the Gospels and in their letters, what they preached in their sermons. You will find something. It's not about a new era coming in the future where you'll have to submit to new revelations, where you have to engage in spiritual warfare to drive out territorial demons and exercise world domination. No. It's about Christ and Him crucified. It's about the bloodshed at the cross. That's the message of the apostles, and that's the foundation of apostolic authority. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.